Hey, 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 you're now listening or watching the Halos in the Infield podcast with your host Todd Fox and Fernando the Lone Star Halo, brought to you in part by Noble L Works, just outside of Anaheim Stadium and the Pond, or the Honda Center, where you can get drink specials just by mentioning Halos in the Infield. Also brought to you in part by 714 Tickets is a place to go to get 10% off of any ticket purchase just by also mentioning HITI, Halos in the Infield. Now enjoy the show. Hey, 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 indeed. Welcome into Angels Baseball Podcast, which is Halos in the Infield. I am Todd Fox, along with
Fernando, the Lone Star Halo,
and a special guest residing from parts unknown. Actually, no, she's from Southern California. The one, the only.
Hi, I'm Lexi, and I'm from Redlands.
There you go. Redlands in the house. We're going to be talking Angels baseball here, obviously, but we're going to get to some breaking news by Shohei Ohtani and our boy Ipe. We'll give our thoughts on that because it's obviously changing by the minute, it seems. And then we're also going to get into what the Angels are going to be looking like here, maybe players that Lexi feels should be on the roster or shouldn't be, and we'll give our thoughts about that. And then we'll talk more about how the season outlook looks and a few other things, touching on baseball, her fandom and stuff like that, sort of introducing her to you, the fans out there on Halos in the Infield. But let's get started with what now, Fernando? What do you want to get started with?
Well, let's let her introduce herself before we get into, you know, everything.
Gotcha. All right, so Lexi from Redlands. Oh, go ahead, Fernando.
No, I was going to say, go ahead, take it away.
Oh, okay. Lexi from Redlands. Let's start that over. How long have you been an Angel fan?
Oh my gosh, 21 years, probably since I was 5.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Okay. So, and your best moments or experiences as an Angels fan?
Other than it being pretty rough. I'm just kidding. I love being an Angel fan. I grew up as a kid having season tickets. So I would go to games all the time. Garrett Anderson tossed me a foul ball once. But I don't remember like them winning the World Series or anything like that. And yeah, I've just been following the Angels since I was a kid. So
do you still have that ball?
No.
Oh, okay. Did you have it for like a period of time? Was it like something you treasured and eventually just kind of lost it? Or
yeah, exactly. Like I've moved around so much, so it just got lost.
That's fair.
Yeah,
that's cool. Well, I mean, as far as, you know, you had some good memories, obviously it has been a little janky lately, but what has been some positives you've been able to pull out of the Angels in the last few years that have been keeping you intrigued as a fan? And then as far as like the lowlights, the things that you'd want to change, obviously.
Some highlights. I mean, I live so close. I'm very fortunate to be able to like drive the games kind of whenever I want to. I've seen a lot of really cool players. I'm fortunate enough to have seen Ohtani pitch. I saw Detmer's no-no. So that was obviously awesome because you can't plan that.
No, you can't.
And then obviously the struggles, you know, the Angels haven't made the playoffs since 2014. So it is kind of hard to, you know, keep that momentum and like wanting to go to the games like throughout the season. But yeah, other than that, I just kind of love going to the games and seeing players that I haven't seen before.
I'm jelly of your peanut butter. I've gone to anywhere from like 400 to 500 baseball games. I had Angel season tickets for 5 years. And I've never seen a no-hitter. I don't even think I've come – actually, okay, the closest I've ever gotten was like late September 2018. We were facing Seattle, and their pitcher had a no-hitter going in like through like 7 1/3. And I was like, do I cheer for a no-hitter? We're out of the playoff race. Do I want to watch baseball history against my favorite team? Like at some point, it's like, where do the lines get blurred? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. It was so cool because they gave away Ohtani bobblehead. It was like a giveaway day. So it's kind of nice that I have like something to remember it by. But I just remember like sitting there and looking at the box score, and we didn't realize it until it was like the top of the fifth. And this guy behind me was like drunk, and he was just like, hey, there's a no hitter going on. And everyone around is like, dude, are you serious? Like, shut up.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Was it Wayne Randazzo? It's right, like the interview, Wayne Randazzo was like, there's a no-hitter, guys. And we're like, yes, Wayne, we know.
I hate that. I hate that. And I feel like as a baseball, like, fan, like, you're just supposed to be super superstitious. Like, you don't say that type of stuff.
Oh, yeah. The legends in radio or broadcasting would have never have done that. Unfortunately, our guys are like, hey, there's a no-hitter in the sixth inning. It's like, shut up. And they're scrolling it on the bottom. It's like, bro, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only no-hitter I've been to, I came to a close one when I was a kid. But then I went to the Skaggs one. And that was one where people were leaving because they didn't believe it was a no-hitter because there was multiple pitchers. But I'm like, dude, this is still a no-hitter. And when it actually happened, it went from like jubilation to, oh my God, I can't believe I witnessed this, to like crying. You know, yeah. It was just all in one.
Even though like a combined no-hitter, it's still like a no-no, you know, that's still pretty cool to see.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think if I were to, if someone were to ask me, like, what's the moment that, like, you know, truly encapsulates you as an Angels fan? I mean, obviously, we're going to not count the 2002 World Series because that's the obvious answer. But, like, Tyler Skaggs, no-hitter, that's a big one because that was, like, such a magical moment as an Angels fan, right? It's the kind of things that, like, when people ask, why do you like sports? It's moments like that, the stuff that you just can't replicate in anything else. I mean, the Angels coming back post All-Star break to essentially celebrate the life of their pitcher who tragically died, and he gets a no-hitter, or the team gets a no-hitter, for like two of the least expected pitchers, Felix Pena, and who was the other one? I don't even remember.
Yeah, I'm blanking on that one too.
I don't even remember who was the opener that day. Jansen Junk?
No, it wasn't Junk. I know it wasn't Junk, but
I'm going to figure it out when we talk.
Okay. Well, to switch gears here for a moment, Lexi, we're going to be doing a segment, at least on my post-game show this year, where we check in on our exes, and meaning are the players that have left the teams, and, you know, and on other teams, and see what they're doing compared to our boys. Mm-hmm. Basically, like, that was going to be the big one all year, was Shohei Ohtani. You know, what's he up to? What's he doing? It sucks that he's gone. You know, we kind of like in the off season, we're in that movie where she's holding the radio to her room, you know, trying to play her favorite song. We're trying to woo him back, but he left. And now that, like, I mean, how are you feeling about that? Because I know he's probably one of your favorite players, and he was one of our favorite players. But now that he signed with the Dodgers, and now you got this drama going around, are you kind of smiling a little bit behind the scenes, or are you generally concerned for him, or how do you feel about that?
I don't know. It is kind of like bitter because, I mean, like, I loved Ohtani. I have his Japan jersey. I have like other Angels jerseys of him too. And I'm like, shit, what am I supposed to do with that now? But it is a little bittersweet to kind of like know that the drama is kind of on him, but maybe it's a Dodger curse, you know?
Maybe.
What if Ohtani was the curse all along? I'm just saying. You never know. You never know. What if that's the reason we didn't make the playoffs? I mean, obviously, we didn't make the playoffs before he came here, but.
Yeah. But I do kind of like the drama and the spotlight being on him. But every time, like, on my Instagram, on Twitter, on all that, it's like, it's always Ohtani. And it's always, like, good stuff, too. And it's like, you know, he's not perfect.
No. Yeah, because that's how, like, you never want to see your ex, as far as a guy's concerned. I'll speak for myself. I ain't going to speak for you or Fernando, but, like, when I'd see my ex go on, I'd be like, oh, I hope she downgrades, you know? You know, like she can't go above me. I don't want to see her with a bodybuilder. But but I mean, when it comes down to it with its whole Ohtani stuff, it's like, even before this stuff happened, like, we didn't know about his wife or really who he was dating. Our media never dove into his life. I mean, as soon as he hit that LA market and he put the LA hat on, it seemed like we were finding out all this stuff. And like, I used to have my feed flooded with Ohtani, but now it's like a tsunami of Ohtani. There's just so much Ohtani news, and now this.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Verlander's always been up his ass, though. So.
Yeah, and he likes it.
Not shut up about him.
Dude, could you imagine a world, a hypothetical world, where Ohtani's like banned from baseball? What would Ben Verlander talk about?
He retired.
Yeah, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I don't know about that whole thing. It's hard to believe, like in my perspective, that like he had no idea.
Correct.
I know there's a lot of like conspiracy theories that like Ippy was doing it for Otani and Otani's the one that has the gambling issue. I don't know if it goes like that far, but I find it hard to believe that he had no idea.
Real quick, but before we keep going into this, let's, for anybody who's living under a rock, let's, or has like, what's the term I'm looking for? Like really, really old internet where like your mom, if they're on the phone, you can't use the internet. Yeah. Dial up. There you go. You see, you're old enough to remember immediately what I was talking about.
I remember when the internet was created.
Sorry. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'm sure you do. So,
AOL Messenger, baby.
Yeah, exactly. Go on AskJeeves.com as a search engine. So anyway, like anyone who's living under a rock, what we're talking about is Ippy, who was Shohei Ohtani's interpreter dating back to Japan. I believe even when Ohtani was 18 years old, I think that's when he met Ippy, mm-hmm. and they've been roughly working together since.
Lifelong friends so far.
Yeah, yep. Came over, or longtime friends, came over to America, worked for the Angels together during his duration here, followed him over to the Dodgers, and now all of a sudden there was a Southern California sports book that was being investigated by the FBI. And in that investigation, they found payments made by Shohei Ohtani. Red flags came up, and all this was about a week ago when all this got discovered and the news broke. Was it yesterday? It was yesterday. The news broke. And since then, I mean, Ippy had one-on-one interviews with ESPN. And then all of a sudden, Otani's lawyers contradicted what Ippy said. So now we're kind of in this cluster Mexican standoff, if you will, of who's right. You know, it's all hearsay. Nothing's been confirmed. The media tried to talk to Shohei Ohtani about it. Shohei Ohtani somehow walked off. We'll see what happens when he gets to LA, because that's a much different animal than it is here in Anaheim. But yeah, that's the whole story so far.
Yeah, so far it's been, you know, Ippy, from what we've got bits and pieces that he started on sites like DraftKings and ran up a tab to where, you know, you're not going to lend out a guy $100,000. So you would get a bookie like this who in turn, if you don't pay him off, could break your legs. You know, like these guys have contacts. But I want to bring something up that in 2021 is when they, or 2019 is when they said it started, and 2021 is when the payments were made. So let me
just go. Was sports betting even legal? So I know in California it's technically not legal yet. Same with Texas. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of us do it. So with that being said, was it legal yet in 2019?
No.
Okay. No. When did it get approved?
I think it was COVID year. Government. I think it was COVID year 2020. They started like in New York and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think that tracks. That sounds about right.
Because here's something interesting. Let me, and before I get Lexi's comments on this, and we'll move on. Because obviously everything now, like you said, is hearsay. But just is something interesting, just a little nugget to think about. 2017, he got $2,315,000 from the Angels. 2018, $545,000. 2019, $650,000. 2020 was $259,000. 2021 is where he got $3 million. 2022 was $5.5 million. And 2023 was that extension for $30 million. So he had $42 million, but see, this all happened before 2022. So he had a net worth at that time without the endorsements, which he was making at that time. But Major League Baseball-wise, he had a little over $6 million at that point. So if you're playing your math right, even with the endorsements, you would be missing $4.5 million and know where that money is from your bank account. I'm just saying.
Lexi, do you want to chime in before I do? Or do you want to please?
No, I mean, I basically agree. Like, how do you just, I mean, I get it. The guy's making like millions and millions and millions of dollars, but especially like it was more than just like colleagues, you know, they were friends. Correct. And it's like, and they work so closely together, like they see each other every day. Like that just doesn't, like, how do you just not quote unquote know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. I mean, yeah, they are, they're like family essentially, right? I mean, they spend every waking moment together from every interpretation we have, and we know they hang out off the field too. So I'll leave it at this for today, because we're probably going to be talking about this for a while, unless MLB really does just brush us under the rug. I just have such a hard time believing that a dude who is so in tune with his life, and by that I mean, we don't know anything about Shohei Ohtani publicly, right? Where does he shop? Where does he get his groceries? For somebody who's one of the most recognizable sports figures in the world, if not the most recognizable face, you'd think we would know a lot more about him. This dude got secretly married. I don't even think Lexi could get secretly married without like a decent amount of people knowing. You know what I mean? Like everything is so out there. So how could this guy who's as larger than life, we would all agree, have such a pulse on everything happening around him to the point where he can manipulate the coverage that is placed on him, not know what happened to $4.5 million. Seriously, like, do we even think his wife has that much access to his finances? No offense to her. I'm sure she's a great woman. I'm simply saying, like, that's a lot of money. This isn't $450,000. And this stuff happens all the time. Tony Gwynn got robbed from his agent. God, there was another name that I just blanked on. Oh, Jake Peavy. Jake Peavy lost almost everything. So this stuff happens, but it's normally like your agent who, yeah, can secretly take money away from you, right? Like, hey, Todd, you're going to go sign autographs for 2 hours at the T-Mobile down the street. It pays $600,000, but it actually pays $750,000. I'm just not telling Todd. So there's ways that agents can steal money, but your interpreter? I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me. The stars don't align, especially because I was watching the opening day for the Padres and Dodgers, and I'm sure you guys might have caught highlights or whatever. Ipe and Ohtani were pretty buddy-buddy for finding out a week ago that this was happening. I'm just saying, it's really weird. If I found out that my friend stole $4.5 million a week ago, we would not be that cool.
I'm just going to say this and leave it at this. My personal feelings, I think Ohtani found out. Ipe told him, hey, man, they're coming after me. I owe $4.5 million. You know, you got to help me, man. Like, and he used the whole bro code and, you know, hey, I love you. You're my friend. You're my brother. And Ohtani with a big heart said, okay, I'll help you out, but you got to keep this on the down low, not knowing that the feds were already investigating or maybe that there was a chance of that happening. I just don't think if Ohtani is innocent on anything, he probably doesn't know American law and he doesn't know how the federal government feels towards gambling. So maybe he did it in good conscience and, you know, it just came out in the light. So we'll move on from that because obviously that's a thing, like you said, Fernando, it's going to be going on for quite some time. Let's talk about what's on the field. And Lexi, I'll ask you first, and then we'll get into Fernando's thoughts on it. Favorite things so far that you've seen from the Angels here in spring training? Who do you like coming out of spring training, like surprise player? And who are you disappointed with?
Who I like, I'm really liking Neto right now, and I'm really liking Ohapi. Neto's been killing it in spring training, so I'm hoping that carries over into the regular season. And same with Ohapi. I mean, I'm curious on how he's going to be, and I hope he stays healthy. I liked what I saw last year, and I liked what I'm seeing during spring training. Something I don't like is, I can say Rendon. I feel like that's always a topic. And I don't know why hasn't he been number one in the lineup?
Correct.
Like he's a leadoff guy. Mm-hmm. I just don't understand how that makes sense.
They're trying to use his on-base percentage as a key. So like if you have him lead off, he'll work walks. He might hit a gapper, that type of thing, but.
What? I like him better as a leadoff hitter than I like him batting cleanup.
Correct.
He's not protection for Trout at all.
No.
I still like Shane Wow leading off, though.
Okay. So you're liking him right now in spring, Fernando?
I think everyone is, right? I mean, this is his first spring training the same way it's, you know, Zach Neto's first big league. spring training. I mean, yeah, he got some looks last spring training, but this is his first time. Like, hey, you got the keys to the kingdom. And both of them have showed up so far, that's for sure. But we'll see what happens with Shanuel because he is experiencing, was it back tightness?
A little bit, yeah. Now, here's a question. I'll throw it over to Lexi again and then back over to Fernando. Initial thoughts so far on Ron Washington. Do you think that the youngsters are picking up his mentality? Do you think the veterans will fall in line? Do you think he – it's basically the same question, but do you think he has a good pulse on the team moving forward?
Oh, yeah. I like that he's very old school. I mean, look at the aggressiveness just on stealing bags right now. And then I like his approach when it comes to the pitchers as well. He said, or one of the broadcasters said, that Washington will go out to the mound if it's something mental. And then if it's mechanical, then the pitching coach will go out. So I just like his approach. It's different. It's aggressive. And I feel like the kids are kind of picking up on that.
Okay, Fernando?
Well, so let me ask you this, Lexi. Do you think – so Ron Washington's here this year and next year guaranteed, and then who knows what happens. Do you think that there's a chance he'll stick around, or do you think he's going to, like, retire after this? Because I agree with everything you said. I like that the guys are obviously changing their mentality. I agree about the stolen bases thing. I'm hoping it translates to the regular season. But, like, do you guys think he's actually going to stick around?
Honestly, I don't know. I hope he does. Cause I know we're kind of rebuilding right now. And I think he kind of creates more of like a culture. So it would kind of suck for him to be here this year and next year and then just leave, you know?
That's true. Yeah. He doesn't get to see like the fruits of his labor, if you will. You know, when guys like Neto, Ohapi, you know, Moniak, Shanuel, those guys have actually been at the majors for a while, and now they're actually, you know, legitimate major leaguers, perennial all-stars, whatever.
I think he would stick around if the Angels were to continue to grow and get better in the next couple of years for a third or fourth season, and then either have an understudy manager in waiting as a bench coach, or they bring in the next guy as a bench coach, and it's obvious that Washington, when he's set to retire, will turn it over to that guy.
Okay, well, so I think we all agree, and I think most Angels fans at the moment will agree, hey, we like what we've seen out of Washington so far. So we will wait to reserve judgment, you know, maybe during like the All-Star break. We'll really see how it's going. But do you guys think it was a mistake to hire Washington in the sense of he is older, he is maybe viewed as a rebuilding manager because, you know, we've seen him work with younger guys, getting to be productive major leaguers. I heard Lexi in another podcast mention Austin Riley. Now Austin Riley is one of the better third baseman dash outfielders in baseball. Very respected. Marcus Semien turned into one of the best shortstops in baseball. Now he's a, you know, second baseman. But, you know, my point is he has a great track record. But is it a mistake to hire a guy who's older, maybe stuck in his ways, instead of getting a guy like Benji Gill maybe?
Want to take a shot at Lex?
Oh, I thought you were going to answer it. No, I think it's great. I like a old school guy who knows what he's doing. I prefer that over someone newer. And he has a great track record. He's respected. He obviously has his own receipts. I mean, look at what he's done for the Braves.
Yeah, I would have to say if there was other people out there, you can kind of say, okay, you know, maybe this guy would have fit better. I think with the situation right now, more than anything, Ron, despite Artie trying to always be in the news and the fact that we're not signing free agents, and that's always a negative, Ron is there, I think, to reel all of us, including the players, back in and just be like, look, this is the best week. This is the what we got on the field, what we got in the organization, and let's make the best out of it. I think he's more of a calming influence, and I think that's where it's going to pay off in the long run. It just sucks we got him late in his career, obviously. You would have loved for him to be 10 years younger, but I think what you're getting, like Lexi says, experience, well-respected, old-school manager that could really get these guys who would normally look away how they did and not pay attention to Nevin or Madden fall in line.
All I know is whoever's going to come post-Ron Washington, I want the organization to hire somebody and just stick with them. I'm tired of the revolving door. And like, that's my worry with Ron Washington. You know, he will serve his 2 years. You know, maybe he has a little bit of success. And then he retires, or the team's just like, hey, or, you know, we want to go with someone a little younger. Thanks for what you did, but we want to switch directions. Then it's going to be yet another manager.
Considering Washington brought in his own staff, I would hope that he would kind of have someone else set up when he leaves.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, new pitching coach, new hitting coach, or hell, maybe it's Eric Young Sr. All of a sudden he's the manager.
You never know. I like that white beard. That's a good look.
He does have a nice beard.
He does.
Very, very jelly of his peanut butter.
Oh, God. You can only use that once.
Once next per time, show?
Yeah, next time I'm throwing you out of the game. but real quick, do you guys think Ron Washington has an effect on the pitching? Because obviously that's our biggest concern. Not necessarily the bullpen, but the starting pitching, guys. Do you think he has a calming influence on that?
I don't know about like a calming influence, but he, I mean, he must be thinking he's doing something with putting Sandy for opening day. I mean, he sees something that we obviously don't see. He said in his interview that he earned it. So I don't see that, but I'm Ron Washington.
I agree. But I mean, like, the tough thing with guys like Sandoval and hell, Detmers and Canning and Silseth, those guys all have potential. We have seen flashes of greatness, and then we've seen flashes of, you know, a grand slam at Denny's at like 5 a.m. You know what I mean? Just kind of thrown together, kind of sloppy. It's just, you know, it is what it is kind of thing.
You know, the Angels starting pitching reminds me a lot of what I used to hear and what my parents used to hear when I was in school. The teachers would tell him, look, he has a lot of potential, but he just is not consistent.
He isn't applying himself.
Yeah, he's not applying himself.
Find so, a dollar for every time I heard that.
Yeah, I got that so many times. Well, if he stops daydreaming, he might actually amount to something. But I think...
And now we're sitting here talking about Angels baseball, hoping that we hit over 1,000 people per episode.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, I think starting pitching has been the issue where they can't be consistent for whatever reason. You know, you might get a really good start from Griffin Canning, the baseball classic from Sandoval, and some of these pitchers look great, and you're like, wow, man, I can't wait for the season to start. They're just gonna be balling out, and then you're like, 5 ERAs, under 500 record, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, absolutely. The bullpen is one bright spot, especially this spring. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys who are doing well, a couple guys who maybe aren't.
And here's a question for both of you guys. Because of Joyce, you know, and a couple other hard-throwing fastball pitchers they brought in for the bullpen, do you think that was the reason why they decided, hey, let's give Soriano a shot as a starter? Do you guys agree with that, stretching him out as a starter?
I don't know. I guess we'll kind of see where that goes. But I don't know.
There's an organizational depth issue at some positions, especially starters, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that's kind of like what she's saying. I mean, you kind of have to throw shit at the wall and hope it sticks to an extent. This team doesn't have a lot of depth in the minors, if any at all. You know, God forbid, knock on wood, whatever term you want to use, a guy like Detmers or Sandoval goes down, because at that point, then we're really scraping, or we're forcing guys like Dana, who have had a great spring, to come up before they're ready. You got to let them cook, you know? Let the guys cook.
Correct. So with that being said, Lexi, we've touched on basically the bullpen, starting rotation, the lineups and stuff like that. What's your pulse on the team? How do you feel about them leaving spring, starting the season? Where do you see them finishing in your mind if you had to make a prediction right now? I'm putting you on the spot. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. I want to be optimistic. I'm saying that we're going to stay a majority over 500. But I don't think we're playoff contenders with the team that we have now.
Okay. She's got a little bit of halo honk, but not too much halo honk.
A little bit.
Just a little bit.
By the way, are you a fan of Roger Lodge?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Thank you. See, we like you already.
Perfect. Perfect. I'll be on for another episode.
He's so damn corny to me. Like, I used to like it when we were good. You know what I mean? Because it's like, oh, you know, you're sipping the Kool-Aid. You're all about it. It's like, hey, I'll listen to this guy's cheesy jokes about his toupee all day long. And now that the team sucks, it's just like another thing that's like irritating. It's like, oh.
Yeah, he is, his hopeless optimism and the whole like, hey, you guys know I used to watch the Bruins at Poly Pavilion and my best friend is John Stamos. It's like, shut up.
Dude, don't forget, like, oh, back when I was a little boy, we used to ride our bikes down Coachella and we'd pay a quarter to watch Nolan Ryan pitch. It's like, bro, I've heard this so many times. I get it. Yes.
Yeah. We always have to take a shot on him at this network because, like, there's like fans like you that understand, like, you want to be hopeful, you want to be pleasantly surprised. There's nothing wrong with that, but we have the side. I think we've established that there's a Halo honkism, which thinks that this team's going to win 100 games, which God bless them if they did. But we know, you know, there's a good chance this team could win 70. You know what I mean? But yeah, we're fine seven. Well, we're fine with that as long as they try. You know what I mean? Like last year, I don't know how you felt about that, Lexi. I know me and Fernando have talked about it a lot, but watching Angel games last year, they were so disconnected. There was no camaraderie with the players, and they just seemed to be going through the motions. Even if they lose like 90 to 100 games, as long as they're competitive and they're in it, I think me and Fernando are on that page of, hey, we're in it. You know, we'll watch into September if they're trying hard every night, right?
Yeah, I think last year would have been a lot different. I think before the All-Star break, we were doing fine. And then all those injuries, it was like injury after injury after injury. And it was just kind of like we all just kind of gave up. We were like, well, what's the point? You know, we went all in and got Giolito and, you know, that kind of fell apart too. So at that point, we were just like, you know what? Like, we just give up. We're not going to make it, you know?
Yeah, I hated the whole – oh, we're going to waive everyone we traded for. We're just going to, you know, throw up the white flag. I didn't care that that was the case. I just thought that it was really, really going to hurt us getting free agents. It turned out to be Artie Moreno, shocker, that hurt us getting free agents. But it's crazy to me that they didn't try to get a single big-name free agent. Like J.D. Martinez, I'm with the Mets today. What was it, for like $13 million, something like that? 13,
12 million. 14,
12 million. I mean, I would have been okay with that for $12 million. Get a veteran who's been there, won championships. We know J.D. Martinez is a vocal leader in the clubhouse, just like Mike Moustakas. Why didn't he come back? He's a vocal leader. He could have helped the young guys.
Yeah, I mean, he signed for the minimum. We talked about this in the last episode, Fernando. The Giants like recouped like six free agents that would have been high-dollar free agents with Boris or the league, and they, for whatever reason, fell right into their laps, and they were the ones signing them when we were thinking, okay, the Angels could possibly sign two or three of these guys and help their team. Lexi and Fernando, I mean, how do you feel? Last question for me is, how do you feel with that being said, the free agents falling to other teams, especially the Giants, when, and they could have came to us. The fact that vocally you heard Perry say, hey, he keeps saying no, I keep asking. Trout, I keep bugging these guys to make moves. I keep telling them there's players out there that can help us. They keep saying no. What kind of message does that send to the players that are on the team?
I mean, like, I kind of understand, like, to a certain extent about Snell, because I don't think Snell was worth what the Giants are paying for him.
Okay.
And then I know, like, we obviously have a terrible reputation on getting guys that are, you know, a little bit past – I mean, they're still good, obviously, but once they come to us, it's almost like a curse. And they just take a deep dive down. So I'm not super upset about the whole Snell thing. I think Montgomery's still available, but yeah, doesn't he just want to stay on the East Coast? Like, he's not interested in West Coast teams. But I do wish that we were a little bit more aggressive during this offseason, because I don't feel comfortable with the starting rotation we have. We don't even have an ace. You know, they're all like five guys.
Yeah, so one of two things is going to happen. The rotation's not going to be good, or an ace will develop. You know, Detmers has the stuff. I just don't know if he has the demeanor to be an ace. P- Patrick Sandoval has the demeanor to be an ace. He has that attitude. He has that edge. But does he have the consistency? Because once again, we've seen flashes. World Baseball Classic, Patrick Sandoval, that's an ace. He was the best pitcher Mexico had. Almost, you know, single-handedly got into the finals himself. It wasn't Urias.
He just lets his emotions get, like, the best of him. And you can...
Yeah, I agree with that. And you know what? If you can take control of that, there's nothing wrong with that. Jared Weaver was another guy. Very vocal, very emotional. One of the best pitchers in franchise history. He knew when it was time to settle down and get that out. And Sandoval, like, if a guy behind him makes an error, you know, he, like, gets frustrated. And there's nothing wrong with being internally frustrated. I mean, we've all played sports here. Nothing's worse than your teammate making a mistake. You know, especially in baseball or softball where those outs are so hard to get. You know, football, you can get lucky and tackle someone. Basketball, you can get lucky and block a shot. Hell, you can get lucky, chuck up a three-pointer, make it in. But with baseball, there's a lot that goes into hitting a baseball, right? You have to hit it through the hole. You have to hit it where nobody is. It's a giant field, yes, but guys are fast. Guys are smart. Guys have scouting reports. It's really hard to get a hit. So when you're putting yourself in a position to get an out because they hit it straight to your left fielder and they don't catch it, I get it. It's frustrating. But you can't let it get to you. And a guy like Sandoval lets it get to him all the time.
Yeah, I think you need to use that as fuel. Like the guys that you mentioned, Lackey even. Those guys can keep it under control. Or you had like a buffer, like we've talked about before, like Ibar, who would come out there and settle them down in between innings. We don't have that type of player, that type of leader yet. Hopefully it's Ohapi. Hopefully it's Neto. But, yeah, there definitely has to be some changes. And this is a year that someone could potentially, you know, stand up and be like, I'm the dude. But it takes a different mentality. That's for sure.
And maybe that's what Washington's goal is by having Sandy be, you know, the starting pitcher for opening day. Maybe he wants to put that pressure on him and see if it's like sink or swim.
Yeah, it's like, you know, okay, hey, you wanted this. Because that's what he had said, you know, in that interview you were talking about. You know, he had said that, like, Sandoval wants this, you know. And he even vocally said, like, this is an honor. So it's like he obviously did want it. So, you know, like you said, sink or swim. So.
Well, and we'll preview that series, that Baltimore series coming up, guys. And that's going to be a very, very tough way to start the season because Baltimore is a favorite to win the whole thing. So, and at least come out of the American League. So that's going to be – they've got some really good talent. Talk about being jealous of some of their hitters and their pitchers. And we face Corbin Burnes right off the shoot. So that's a tough matchup for Sandy. He's going to have to have his best stuff that day.
Mm-hmm. I think it will. I mean, most hitters aren't going to most opening day games aren't very offensive, right? Because everyone's still kind of getting their footing. So normally opening days are like 3-0, except for 2016 when we played the Cubs and opening day was at Angel Stadium. I don't know if any of you guys were there for that, but we lost like 11-1 or something like that.
Yeah, usually when we start the season at home, it's never a good thing.
Not for the Angels. No, never. They have to start the season in Oakland. Like they did for like four straight years.
Yeah.
So since I think we're done talking about the whole spring training thing, let's kind of do this backwards and we'll let Lexi real quick close out and talk about herself. So you had mentioned that you want to go to Oakland. You're a big ballpark girly, if you will. You know, you like going to all the ballparks. You want to get all 30 out of the way. How many have you been to?
I think I've been to 9. I just finished number 9, and that was Diamondbacks.
Okay, so can you name all 9 off the top of your head? I'm sure you have a list, but
I have my notes app pulled up actually.
All right.
Okay.
Cool. So, Angels, Dodgers, Padres, Giants, Red Sox, Braves, Mariners, Rockies, Diamondbacks. So the only one I have left to hit in the West is besides Texas, which I got to go out there too. I got to go to Oakland. I have to like this season.
Yeah. You have Oakland's to
experience a very interesting the ballpark.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I know it's a shithole, but it's like, you got to see it before like it's not there anymore, you know, or you can't go.
I'll say this. It's not as bad as people say it is for what it is. You have to remember, it was the last stadium to be a multi-use ballpark. So in terms of like multi-use stadiums where, you know, you had the Raiders there. You're a Raiders fan, right?
I am.
Raiders, Kings, Angels.
Yeah.
Why? that's a mix. That's a mix.
I get shit for it all the time. They're like, how are you not a Ducks fan? Like, you're an Angels fan? I just, my dad's really big into hockey. My dad's huge into football. So if I were to pick any other football team, I think I'd be disowned. And then hockey, like my dad's really big into, he's always been a Kings fan. So I grew up watching the Kings.
Okay.
Baseball's just kind of like my thing.
Well, let me ask you this though. Who's your favorite concert to go to, or favorite band or musician?
Like new or old?
Doesn't matter. Like if you could go, that would be your, you know, your all time concert you have to go.
Probably right now, Zach Bryan. I love country music.
Okay. So are you the type of Raider fan that'll be a Zach Bryan concert before it starts, before the lights come on dim, and you're like, Raiders? Are you that type? Or
I've never been to an NFL game. I know.
Hey, I've technically never been to one either. I went to a preseason game, but I don't count that. So
yeah, those don't count.
Yeah, because I've never been to one, so I can't
I would love to go, but now that they're in Vegas, tickets are like $1 million.
Yeah, so. I'd wait for them to come to SoFi, actually. It'd be cheaper.
Yeah. I don't think you can tailgate at SoFi, though. And at least when you're in Vegas, you can, like, party on the strip and then just go into the, you know.
Oh, no, you could tailgate at SoFi.
Oh, you can?
I've been there for Seahawks-Rams games. That's all we do is tailgate.
Oh, okay. Is it fun?
Oh, it's a lot of fun, yeah. It's because Well, at least for the Seahawks side, they bring down players from Seattle, and then we get to hang out with them, and then they have beer and all that other stuff. It's really cool.
Barbecue. Nothing like have you seen how like the Bills tailgate and stuff?
Nothing like that. No.
Would you jump through a table?
No.
Oh, come on.
You couldn't pay me.
You've tailgated at Angel Stadium at least, right?
Oh yeah, of course.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Never came to one of our tailgates, but.
Yeah. You can't at Dodger Stadium though, because they'll beat you up.
Yeah. They'll beat each other up. You can't even tailgate at Elysian Park. They close that off too. So.
Oh wow.
That's outside the stadium. But yeah. But real quick though, how'd you like the Safeco Field? Because I've been up there a couple times. That's a nice field.
Safeco was cool. I thought it was beautiful. Honestly, my favorite one is going to have to be Angel Stadium just because that's where I've been the most. But there's been a lot of interesting ballparks. But I want to go like more on like the East Coast. Wrigley's a number one for me. I got to see Yankee Stadium. I wish it was old Yankee Stadium, but it's not. You know. But I love all the ones that I've seen so far. I'm kind of expecting Oakland to be a little bit of a disappointment. But, yeah.
Like I said, if you take it for what it is, it won't be that bad. It's like Tropicana Field. If you take it for what it is, it's not that bad. Expect it to be crappy. I mean, you and I were talking earlier. You know, Fenway Park, you love it for the history. Everyone loves it for the history. But at the end of the day, it's an old-ass ballpark, and it's gross if you really think about it. But, you know, you got to think about the history there. But it's also different because I've been at Wrigley multiple times, and Wrigley Field is a top three ballpark in baseball for me. I've been at 18 Major League Baseball stadiums. And for me, it's Camden Yards, Coors Field, and then number three is Wrigley. I love Wrigley. The area around it was literally built around like the ballpark in the sense of, you know, it's a true baseball neighborhood. And you really can't beat a baseball neighborhood.
Yeah. Well, and another one I really want to go to, especially for like opening day, would be the Reds. They do like a whole thing in Cincinnati. So like that's something I got to experience just as like a big baseball fan. I've never been there. I haven't either. But I've, you know, seen what they do for opening day and stuff like that. I wish we had like some type of culture down here where we could go all out. But I feel like people in Southern California aren't big like baseball fans. If they are, they're fake Dodger fans. But
Ooh, it's true though.
Yeah. I would like to do Cincinnati too, because they do that whole parade like you're talking about. And yeah. Pittsburgh. I think those are two stadiums that I would are on my bucket list.
Yeah.
But as far as like last thing for me, I know I said it earlier, but I'm gonna say that because you guys brought up a good point. We've talked like how Oakland had their fan fest by their fans. I mean, we would have loved to have a fan fest. That whole red carpet thing's stupid. I wish we would have something more for the fans, just a day, and because there are passionate Angel fans. I think there are passionate Dodger fans. There is passionate Padre fans. We've seen them have many fan fests. I just wish that we would set that up for our fans, because you know we do things as an organization. Or I'm saying we, but like you know, they do the 5K run or whatever they call it. A lot of people come out for that. There's a lot of things that they involve the Angels that are good, and that, you know, sometimes are forgotten because of all the bad. But you put a fan fest here and bring back old players, sign autographs, and teach new, you know, younger kids about the past, and then get them hyped for the future. That would be great. That would grow the game, and they just keep dropping the ball right here in Southern California.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish like, I don't know about you guys, but I like going to Golden Road before and like mm-hmm. grabbing a beer and going in.
We go to Noble.
Where's that?
Noble's our sponsor.
Oh.
It's somewhere over there. It's hidden.
Okay. Yay.
That's all right. We go to Noble.
Well, maybe I got to go there because I just get a Golden Road. But I wish, like, especially. You get
10% off, though, if you go to Noble.
Oh, well, there you go. I'm going there. What? Now.
All right, go ahead.
Isn't it like 2 pints for $9?
Yeah.
That's just awesome. Got to mention Halos in the infield.
Now I'm listening.
And free parking.
Yeah.
And free parking for the Angels game.
It's okay. Right across the street from Ball. So, like, if you don't mind walking in the back route underneath the Amtrak, you're mm-hmm. right.
Oh, where didn't Hooters used to be over there?
Yeah, it's just a block.
They're right behind Hooters, yeah.
Oh, okay, okay. All right, yeah. I may have to go there now. But I was saying, like, I wish, like, we had, like, bars and, like, certain, like, Angel, like, baseball stuff, like, that you could, like, walk from there to the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I really liked. You know, Atlanta just redid their stadium, and it's more of, like, an old-school vibe, kind of how, like, Fenway is. And it's, like, you go grab a beer across the street, and you just walk right in. Like, I love that about mm-hmm. certain ballparks.
Yep. No, Wrigley has that. I mean, Petco Park has that, except
yeah.
the difference is the Braves own that, so they developed that whole area themselves. Yeah. You know, what people call the ballpark village. And the Angels tried doing that before Artie Moreno, you know, backdoor dealed his way into losing the land that he purchased. But it would be really cool. I agree with you. I would love a situation where you can actually spend a full day getting ready for opening day.
Exactly. Yeah. Because when I went to Petco, I think I told you on the 4th of July, it was like, okay, like certain like bars that go all out. And especially because it was 4th of July too, you know, it's like you grab a couple beers before you catch a game and then you can go to the bars after. Like it really is an all day thing.
Yeah. I think you messaged me and you're like, hey, do you recommend anywhere before the game? And like, I didn't respond for like 2 or 3 hours because, you know, I was driving back from California that day to mm-hmm. Texas. And, I was like, oh, go to Bubs. And you were like, I'm already here.
Yeah. Bubs was awesome. And I got there like, oh my God, I got there so early. There really wasn't anyone there. And we just sat like at the bar for hours. So I watched like a couple of their games and then we went right in. But that was awesome. I wish like we had something like that for.
Well, they do have a couple. And we, you know, we don't, you name one. And then the other one is, I think, Carl Strauss, which is across the street. And yeah. Noble gets some patronage, but if they were closer, it would make a difference. You had a couple.
Brewery of X is a big one now.
Yeah, and they're far away though. And they still
are they? I thought they were.
No, they're not around the
next to the cookie plug, aren't they?
No, nah, they're way down the freeway, aren't they? I forget where they're at, but they're not.
I've never been to Brewery X.
They're not close to the stadium. I know that.
And they have one inside the stadium, don't they?
Yeah, they have their stuff there, but you like the actual bar is. Way off, or the brewery's way off, and then you had the steakhouse, which I tried to get a sponsor, and they went out of business. And I was thinking about, I'm like, why am I trying to get a steakhouse? No one's gonna go get fine dining steak after an Angels game. You know, you want ballpark food, you know. And they had a row of restaurants right there that all went out of business, and it's like, gee, I wonder why you didn't have any Angels gear up, and you're serving the wrong stuff. So
yeah.
It's all about knowing your audience.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think someday, I think one day we'll have a situation where, you know, the land is actually built on, it's not just a parking lot. It's an actual nightlife environment. Everyone's trending towards doing that. I do think at some point Art of Moreno will get the land. Hopefully that's what it is that he wanted, right? All along. The team will be worth more money. He can sell the team and move on.
Or do what McCourt did. Keep the parking lot, you know. He doesn't
own it, right? The city of Anaheim owns it. That's why.
Yeah, if he can get the parking lot revenue and then maybe he could develop the stuff around it and then sell the team, I'll be okay with that.
I remember for a while the Angels were going to like develop. So right next to what are those apartments called? The George?
I don't know. There's so many of them now.
The fancy one?
Yeah, the ones that like Keenan Middleton and Shohei used to live in.
Oh, yeah, the red, orange, and yellow place.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that the George?
I didn't know the name. I just know they're pretty damn expensive.
Yeah. No, I looked into living there once. So like right next to that, there's like an old abandoned warehouse. And I think like 7 years ago, maybe 8 years ago, there was news that the city of Anaheim was going to develop that money. And with the money they were generating from that area, they were going to put it towards stadium improvements toward Angel Stadium. They fenced off that warehouse and nothing ever happened with it. And that was going to be to the city of Anaheim. So I don't even know what happened with that. And obviously now the Ducks are doing their thing. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. We'll see. But I agree with Lexi. They should do something.
Absolutely.
Make it happen.
So any final thoughts? Did you enjoy your time on the show, Lexi?
Yeah. This was a lot of fun. I feel like this was long. This was way longer than the one I just did. But yeah, this was cool.
Make it sound like a bad thing.
No. I like your guys' energy.
Oh, wow. Okay. I thought she was going to be like, yeah, you dragged this on way too long.
You're like, man, it's past my bedtime, actually.
We used to do 2-hour shows before we got on with the Believe Network. So this is actually our longest show since we got on the Believe Network.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you guys still have to like cut quite a bit. Right.
No.
But
this is still gonna be on.
Yeah. We'll leave it on. We'll leave it on.
Yeah.
We're just standing. Wrapping up the show in a lazy way, but. All right, Fernando. Any final thoughts, and we're out of here.
Nope. Adios.
All right. Have a good one. Catch you on the flip side, Angel fans.
Bye, everyone.
All right. Bye.